We're going to turn into the book of Galatians again this morning. It's been an exciting journey to talk about the Spirit. You know, one thing you can't get too much of is the Spirit, right? How many know it's okay to overdose with the Holy Ghost? That's about the only thing God lets you get away with. If you want to drink, you can just drink all you want. Amen. If you want to get happy, you can get as happy as you want to be. There's no limitations on God's expression to us. And, wow. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. We release those mercies today in the house of the Lord. The book of Galatians, we're going to look in chapter 4 primarily this morning, then I'll be skipping around to some other scriptures, but we've been talking about this twofold theme, salvation by works, salvation by the Spirit. How does faith come? What does faith exist for? What does it create in us? And we understand that the Lord brings an understanding to us to so we can begin to differentiate between that which origins out of the soul and that which origins out of the Spirit. It's very difficult to sometimes divide that because it's in the division of it that understanding unfolds to us in who we really are. Because if you look at yourself and evaluate yourself by your soulish expression, you're going to have an improper evaluation of really who you are. It's only when you can see yourself in the Spirit. So in other words, you're seeing yourself as God sees you. The Lord said, I know no man now after the flesh, but now I know him after the Spirit. So the Lord sees in you his Spirit. So it's quite a different reflection on what he sees versus what you often see, right? When I look in the mirror, I often see an impression that's not really the impression that God has of me. Because I see a fleshly body, I see a soulish expression, and I can make an evaluation upon that that's not really the truth that God has. The Lord is a Spirit. Everybody say, the Lord is a Spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, Hebrews talks about that when we are able to discern our spirit, it is a mark of our maturity. When you're able to understand the leadership of the Spirit versus your own emotional or mind or your will compared to the Spirit of God, which in itself contains a mind and a soul and a will. It's just the nature of God versus our nature. And chapter 4 of Galatians talks about this principle of heirship. Now he says in verse 1, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from a slave. How many don't want to be a slave? Right? But if you're a child, you're dealt with as a slave. In other words, what it means is that you're under bondage. You're under the control of something other than what God intends for you to be controlled by. Remember the old Bob Dylan song? It said, you're going to serve somebody, right? How many remember that? How many of you never heard of Bob Dylan, right? Okay. You're going to serve somebody. In other words, you're going to be under the control of something. You're going to be under the control of someone. The choice is yours on who controls you. Are you going to be controlled as a slave under bondage? Are you going to be under the lordship of Christ, which brings you into heirship? The Lord said, I'm going to bring you out of the bondage, out of the thing that's held you back, and I'm going to liberate you into something brand new. Everybody say, this is the time of the brand new. Amen. So if you're a child, then you're still like a slave. You're under guardians, you're under stewards, even till the time appointed by the Father. Now, he's talking a lot here about the law. You know, the law is defined as a tutor. We know inside the law itself cannot bring us salvation. It can only lead us to our salvation because it reveals the inadequacy in order to bring us to the fullness. The law serves a purpose. But it's not the final thing, because in that is not our salvation. Our salvation is in Him. So God takes us out of this relationship thing that we create around ourselves, that creates bondage for ourselves, to bring us into a place called the glorious liberty of the sons of God. You are all on a progression of liberty, right? You started out in slavery, but when the Savior came, He set you on course to bring you into the fullness of liberty. Everybody say liberty. Christ has died to make you free from the laws of sin and death. But it only comes by the Spirit. It doesn't come by religious ordinances. It doesn't come because you follow a set of rules. It comes because of your relationship that you have with Him as your Savior and as the one that brings His new Spirit within you. Now you are born again. You become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. For it says in verse 4, the fullness of time come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. It's amazing how Christ came and identified with you in every aspect of who you are. You think, well, nobody really knows me. Well, guess what? He does. Because He identified with every weakness you have. He identified with every thought that you have that's not right. Everything in you that's fearful, that's doubts, anxiety, Christ has come to identify with you. There's no one, absolutely no one, that knows you better than He does. Everybody say, nobody knows me like Jesus. Amen? Wow. The amazing part about that is that if He could know me that well, how could He still love me? Right? How could God still love me knowing me the way He does? That's why sometimes I'm kind of amazed at some of you people. That you could know me as good as you do and you still love me. That's a miracle in itself. It is. Love is a miracle, isn't it? The ability to love in spite of the things that you see that are lacking. So when God, through Christ, looks at us, He sees an imperfect vessel, but He sees it through the eyes of perfection. Hallelujah. So in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of the law, to redeem us. Everybody say, we've been redeemed. We were under the law, that we may receive the adoption as sons. Now, the moment you accept Christ as your Savior, the very moment you accept Him, God sees you as a son, as an heir, right? Because now how does God see you? In His Spirit. But does that automatically mean that you've obtained sonship and heirship in your whole man? No, right. We know that just because we've accepted Christ doesn't mean that we have the fullness of salvation from Christ that He wants to give to you. It's God's will that every bit of you, every part of you is saved, sanctified, justified, and glorified with Him. Everybody say, God is the God of the complete man. He doesn't leave one thing behind in His salvation. He includes it all. The only thing that is happening now is this awareness of who we are is coming into focus, not because we just have a mental assent to the awareness, but because of our relationship with Him, we're being transformed into the awareness. The closer I get to Him, the more I know about Him. The closer I get to Him, the more I understand who He is. Because it's in my understanding of who He is that I finally begin to understand who I am. Because all of my identity, all of my validation is found in Him, not in myself. Right? It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But you've been saved by grace through faith. Everybody say, saved by grace. What's grace? The unending favor of God. The pouring out of God's love. The acceptance, the inclusion that He brings you into His family. The grace of God that because of when you step in faith and say, I believe, I trust that He is. my Savior, Jesus Christ, that very moment, you're brought into the family in your spiritual man. So whether you like it or not, you're destined for the throne. Whether you like it or not, you're destined for perfection. Whether you want it or not, God has you in the palm of His hand. You're no longer your own, but you've been bought with a price. Albeit, be a heavy price, wasn't it? How could you pay a greater price than a man lay down his life for his friend? That's the greatest price a man can pay, is to lay his life down. Christ did that for you and I. So we may receive the adoption as sons. Verse 6, and because you're sons, everybody say, I'm a son. And if you're a PC person, say, a daughter. If you're a woman, I'm a son or a daughter of the Lord. And He has sent His Spirit, the Spirit of the Son, into my heart. So now I can cry out, Abba, Father. Wow. Everybody say, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, in verse 7, but a son. And if a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now that you've known God, or rather are known by God, it's not rather how much you know, that you know God, but really you begin to understand God really does know you. He knows you. Isn't that cool? That God knows you. Wow, that changes everything in our perception about what we do and what we become. Because now we're no longer led by idols or led by strange gods or led by the things of man or the things of the law, but we're led by the Spirit of the Lord. And the Romans says that when you're led by this Spirit, when you follow this Spirit, when you join with this Spirit, now you are the sons of God. Means you're special, right? Special to do what? To be a son. How many want to be a son? A daughter of the Lord, right? We want to have the Father. We want to be joined with the Father. Just as Jesus was joined to the Father, He made the pathway. He included you to that same pathway to be joined the same way He is joined. For just as I and the Father are one, Lord, I pray that they also be one with you. Amen. Changes the priority of your life when you have this revelation. Because when you realize you're a son and that you're an heir with Christ, a joint heir with Christ in God, you begin to have a different perspective of the purpose that you live your life for. Because the purpose of the Father was to send Christ to reveal who He was to the earth so that He could establish a place called a kingdom. Everybody say a kingdom. Isn't it nice to live in a kingdom? When I live in a kingdom, then I don't have to be responsible for the defense of that kingdom. When I live in a kingdom, I don't have to be responsible for the food that's supplied to it. When I live in a kingdom, I don't have to be responsible for the atmospheric condition that's over it. When I live in a kingdom, I don't have to be responsible for the order that's within it. My job is to live there. Because in there, that I place that I live, there's one that reigns above me. Amen? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The kingdom of God is establishing a new place, a new realm of existence upon the earth through His people. It's a kingdom that doesn't come with observation, nor is it seen by most people. It's a kingdom that's coming from the innermost relationship that you have with the Lord. You are the kingdom of God upon the earth. Wow. Because of that unity I have with Him. Whew. So Galatians is a beautiful book, isn't it? And it goes on in verse 19, Paul says this. Now, because some of us have the misthought that when we receive Christ, that means automatically that everything about us is in Christ. No, it means our spiritual man Which is, by the way, which is the most important part of you, right? Everybody say, the Spirit in me is the most important part of who I am. The natural conclusion then is for that which is in your spirit to inhabit the rest of you. Your soul, your body. Do you know God in his triune, in his triune nature, we know he's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know that we also have a triune nature. We have a flesh, we have a soul, we have a spirit. Now, our flesh is very obvious what that is. You can look around and see flesh all around you this morning. The soul, man, is something that you cannot see, but you often hear expressed. The soul, man, consists of the mind, the will, and the emotions of man. Most of the time, we have difficulty hearing the Spirit because the soul man is so loud that he's not listening to what the Spirit man is saying. But those that have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord says will begin to hear into their spirit and will be transformed from glory to glory and from image to image inside your spirit. Your inner man is where your spiritual man lives. But the spiritual man that's within you does not want to be locked in you. He wants to become expressive through you. In every aspect of who he is, he wants to reveal himself by his fruit, by his gifts, by his authority. We have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, gentleness. Against such there is no law. I think I said that twice. It's okay to be gentle twice, right? How many could use a double dose of gentleness? The gifts of the Spirit. We know the gifts of the Spirit that are with us. All the different gifts, the gifts of healings, the gift of miracles, the gift of speaking in tongues, the gift of interpretation tongues, the gift of prophecy, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of all the discernment, all those different gifts of the Spirit. We know that there's the manifestation of the nature of God through the apostolic apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Amen. Workers, every aspect, hospitality, every aspect, every display that comes through us should come through us as a manifestation of the Spirit, not of our own soul or our own will. Because if it comes from our own soul, originates from there, it simply becomes a religious expression. But if it comes by the Spirit, then it becomes a dynamic manifestation and unfolding of his presence into our midst. Amen? I'm doing a little teaching. Okay, I'm restraining myself from preaching, okay? Simple stuff, isn't it? But he says in verse 19, my little children. Words, what Paul's saying, hey, my little children. Basically saying, you that are still somewhat in slavery. Because you're little children. You're controlled by the elementary principles of this world. I'm laboring for you in birth. How many know that laboring is not an easy process? I don't know from firsthand experience. But I know in the spirit, the labor. Laboring is excruciating effort to produce something new. In order for something new to be birthed in your life, if you're caught as a child, if you're caught as a slave, if you're caught without understanding, there must be a proactive step on your part of faith that oftentimes is excruciating to bring forth something new. Because if you expect your life to change casually, it probably won't happen. It only changes because of the aggressiveness of faith that's within you. Paul said that you need to press in, that you need to press forward to the mark of the call of God in Christ Jesus. We labor, we travail to enter into the breakthrough. Because It's when we crucify this nature, I've been crucified with Christ. When we crucify this soulish will that we all possess, when we crucify it, crucifixion hurts. But it only hurts for a moment. We labor for a season, but it only labor for a season, because afterwards we break through into a new experience that cannot be described with the words of man. Did you know that when you break through in the Lord, you break through into an indescribable position? When you break through to the Lord, you break through to something where the mind can, that you used to possess, no longer can comprehend it. I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered the heart of man what God has prepared for them who love him. When we as a people press in to the Lord and we break into the Spirit, there's nothing to be compared with that moment. You know, it says in Psalms that we weep for a moment. We weep, we sorrow, we cry, we travail. But afterwards comes this expressive anointing of the Holy Spirit that man cannot even comprehend, the joy that comes in the morning. So Paul said, I'm praying, I'm laboring in birth again until Christ is formed in you. How many want Christ to be formed in you? Amen? You know, it says in another passage, it says that I pray your whole spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord. So we understand then, we might not like it, but we understand that salvation is a progressive experience. It begins in the spirit, but it has a definite point of conclusion in mind, that you become a perfect man, that you be transformed. You know, it says in Ephesians that God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Not in perpetuity, but until we come to the measure of the stature of the fullness in Christ Jesus. Until we all become a perfect man. What is a perfect man? It means to be a complete man, right? What is a complete man in Christ means? It means your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body becomes transformed into his image. The church is working itself out of a job, right? One day, we don't need the church as we know it when we become to the mature man. One day it says you won't need that any man teach you. Now, some Christians take that a little prematurely. Have you ever met a Christian like that? You mean, I'm so mature, I don't listen to any more to preachers because teachers, because Bible says one day that I have no need that no man teach me. But usually if you meet someone like that, just push a little button and see what manifests. See if it manifests the spirit. See if it manifests love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. See if it manifests humility and submission and obedience. Nah. Don't you dare challenge me. I'm a strong Christian. Don't you tell me how to do it. I know how to do it. I want to meet you. Tell me how you do it. Let the Spirit of the Lord rule in you. Greater is he that ruleth his own spirit than he that ruleth the city. The Lord is working on your inner man. He wants to produce in you. And I wrote something down. I'll read it. Faith is birthing something by the Spirit. It is revealed in you. Faith is birthing something by the Spirit. See, faith is birthing a spiritual outcome. Not a soulish, but a spiritual, right? We're not trying to birth more soul. We're trying to birth out of the Spirit. We want the origin of who we are to be expanded on by faith. The kingdom of God is an ever-expanding birthing into your life. You're becoming like him into all things. When you birth it, it's revealed in you. You see, everything of the Spirit will ultimately be spoken and revealed and seen through you. When you're walking in the Spirit, you will always reveal the Spirit. When you're walking in your flesh or your soul, you will always reveal that. You'll always know who you are and where you're from by what comes out of your heart. Because it's out of the heart the mouth speaks. And out of the heart, it says that the heart is the center of who we are. And that really means the Spirit. So if we're walking in the Spirit, out of our mouth, out of our actions will come spiritual results. So it doesn't mean you're to be blown away if you have a soulless response. It just means you need to realize you need to get back to the Spirit. You need to get back to faith. He said, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. It all starts in the Spirit. The ultimate goal is for the whole man, resurrected by the Father, inward and outward, totally compliant to the will of God, to become a full expression of God upon the earth. It must come from the Spirit. Everything else is the traditions of men, the flesh, the soul, everything that comes from man, because God is a Spirit. The soul will try to duplicate what he sees the Spirit doing. That's why on every move of God that you can point back to, there's always spiritual marks of that movement, right? There's always some type of physical or mark that we can mark that movement by, but it's always the tragedy of those is that those movements continue many times not by the Spirit, but by the soul. Because the soul keeps reflecting to what it saw the Spirit does, and they try to duplicate that. The one thing that you'll know about the Spirit, it's always original. God never has to duplicate a pattern to prove himself. Everything God does comes from an originality of who he is. Right? So when you come in to the Lord, you don't come in and you try to bring all this stuff with you. You come stripped. Look, Lord, I'm naked. What do you give me? I don't want to bring the rags and the clothes from some previous experience to the table because that won't suffice. Give me this day my daily bread. Don't bring your old loaf with you. God has something better for you. Don't bring your old thing. Let the new thing be birthed in you today. Today the Lord said, I am new in you. I'm birthing something new today in the house of the Lord. Oh, we could just have what we used to have. If we could have the glory cloud and the gold. If we could just have this and we could just have that. And all we keep thinking about is what we used to have. Do you realize God says something better than what we used to have? Amen? The greater thing that God is doing this hour is not doing it in the things that man is seeing. He's doing it the things that no man can see. He's doing it in the heart. That's the greatest expression of God upon the earth right now. While most of the church is still tied up over what they're seeing and what they don't see. But the true church says, Lord, see this and let this become conformed to your image. Wow. You seek a sign? You seek this? You seek that? No. Seek the Lord. Because there is the salvation that you need. That's the pattern that we know that we seek. Is in seeking him. Everything that the soul tries to duplicate is sourced from our own will, imitating what we believe that God wants. It's even how we talk, isn't it? Ooh, la, ooh, la. I mean, the Lord says for you. I don't think God talks that way. You know what I'm saying? I'm not making too much fun of it, just a little bit. We don't have to go, the Lord says. No, I mean, maybe that happened to you when the Spirit of God first hit you, but that's 20 years ago. Get off of it. Go on from something else. I'm just making fun a little bit. I tend to do it. I tend to get into my preachy voice or my prophetic voice or my, you know. That's all right. The soul has to act some way, doesn't it? Might as well be acting a little crazy every now and then. Soul has to have an expression. But let's pray it has a spiritual expression. Whatever it does, it might jump up and down and shout and go, hallelujah. I mean, it may do all that, but let it be the Spirit that's doing it through you. Amen? Don't just think about, well, I used to jump up and down saying hallelujah. No, remember what it was like when you connected. It caused you to jump up and down and shout a hallelujah. And get that. That's what we seek. No, having started in the Spirit, are we trying now to complete this in the flesh? The good news about being this old is that I've been through just about, or heard about, or been through just about every move of God that you could imagine. The one thing I learned about him is that there's always a next move. It's never about the past move. It's always about the next move. Hallelujah. It's never about what used to be. It's about what's coming. You don't live on yesterday's manna. You live on today's fresh anointing that comes from heaven. There's two cities. Mount Sinai, where the law came from. And Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, where the Spirit of the Lord is coming from. There's two sons. There's Isaac that was born of promise. There's Ishmael that was born through Hagar of the flesh. We're crying out, God, let there be an Isaac born in us today. One that, just like Abraham, believed God. And the nation was born through him. Lord, let us not be like the Abraham that gave in to unbelief and birthed an Ishmael that still haunts us today. Still haunts us today. Still against us today. You see, everything you birth in the flesh will follow you around as long as it can until you put it to death. When you finally recognize that old flesh thing that's following you around, pull out your sword and whack its head off. Shut up. I'm going to go after the Lord. Amen. It's time that some of you got a little aggressive about this stuff you've been living in, this quagmire, this pit. Get your sword out and whack it to death. Let Christ live in you, the hope of glory. I got to finish reading this because I got something else to share too. Oh. The reason we have a hard time breaking through to the Spirit is because we do not have the Spirit worship or a Spirit word. It takes only a small connection. Get that. Everybody say it. Small connection to the Spirit to bring a radical change. You know, when you're in the soulish man trying to get a radical change, it takes an awful lot of expression. To get a little change. But when you're in the Spirit, it only takes one small connection. Pow. The connection to the Lord changes everything for you. All of a sudden, you have the mind of Christ. You have the will of God. You have the purpose of God, the destiny of God imprinted in your spirit. The moment you connect with Him. It's all about connection. It's what this house is about. Why don't we come up front? Why don't we worship? Why don't we worship in the Spirit? Why don't we speak in tongues? It's not because we're trying to display something that someone would be impressed with. God knows it's not impressing very many people. I could be the most soulish, impressive person you want to meet if I allow myself to be. I can go back and pull out my dust off my old books, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I can dust off that old book, The Power of Positive Thinking. And we can create something entirely different than what we see. We can create something that makes everyone happy in their soul. But it has nothing to do with the connection in the Spirit. Why do we strive? Why do we bear down? Why do we push? Why do we reach? Why do we cry out? Because we want a connection in the Spirit. Because we know that that's the only way we become an heir. A son that cries out, Abba, Father. we really do know who you are. You're not some far off, estranged God. But now through your son, Jesus, we can say, Abba, Father, we're part of you. Through that connection that we have with him. The spirit connection. Wow. I wanted to bring this out quickly. The kingdom, Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, last week it was a unique week for me. I came in all the week before. I was in this, what I call holy contentment, which I would also define as peace. I mean, don't care how you define it as long as you get it, right? The peace of God. The Bible said the peace of God will come upon you that passeth all understanding. In other words, it'll be greater than your soulish man's ability to understand it. Because it has no rhyme nor reason for why you've got it. Because it's not because your circumstances all of a sudden have changed. Not because your bank account got filled up with money. Not because you're driving a shiny new car. Not because your children are obeying you this week and they're not screaming their heads off and banging into the walls. Not because your boss is being nice to you. But the peace of God that passeth all understanding came on my spirit. It's still there, by the way. I'm sorry, it's theirs. I can sit now like this for as long as I want to, and I'm not anxious one bit. I don't think about anything that's disturbing, anything that's upsetting. I just sit like a lump on the log. You know, I'm kidding you a little bit. It's a spirit of contentment. Now, you say, well, how long are you going to live there? I don't know. I hope to keep living there. I want to keep dwelling at the house of peace. Where do you live, Bill Hart? I live at the house called peace that passeth all understanding, that rules and guards my heart. So the minute I started preaching more about this spiritual connection, I'm saying if I'm preaching about it, I better start doing it. So I get before the Lord and I start connecting more to God. And the more I connect, the more peace begins to come. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink. That means it's not anything that's influenced by the soul. But the kingdom of God comes from on high. It comes from the Lord's presence. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Well, let's bring the kingdom of God to the earth. Okay, let's bring righteousness, peace, and joy then. That'll bring the kingdom. Wow. It's like living in a new land. It's like being in a place we've never been before. It's like getting a first class ticket to Maui. How many have ever been on a vacation to some place like a cruise or the Caribbean or Mexico? I mean, some parts of Mexico, right? Like the beaches, or to wherever, your happy place. How many know, have kind of a happy place? And you save up and you believe God and you finally get the vacation to go to the happy place. And you're happy there for a few days, but then you come back to a not so happy place. Well, guess what? When you get in the kingdom, it's all the happy place. Amen. Whether it be down in Mexico or on the Hawaiian Islands or in the hills of Alaska, you'll be in a happy place because you'll be in the presence of the Lord. Righteousness. I looked up righteousness. It means to be right, to be justified, a state of condition. How did you become righteous? You became righteous because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ made you righteousness. I am, everybody say, I am. Let's sing it with a little emotion. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Woo! Peace is a quality of existence. I wrote this down. I didn't look in Webster's. Peace is a quality place of existing. A lack of conflict and a place where you are free from fear, a place that you have inner tranquility and assurance. That's the peace of God that passeth all understanding. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace. Wow. Peace has been made for us through the blood of Christ. Lord, let the Son of Peace, that's what he's called, isn't he? The Son of Peace. Let the Son of Peace rule in this house. Amen? May the peacemaker, the one that creates peace between us and God, the one we were estranged from, the Heavenly Father, let that peacemaker reign in our hearts. You think you got problems? You don't have a problem. When you've got Jesus, you've got peace. Well, I'm anxious. I'm fearful. I'm upset. I'm angry. I'm fretful. I can't do this. I can't. No, just get Jesus. So all you need is Jesus. What's your problem? Lack of Jesus. When you got Jesus, when you take all of him and eat all of him, drink all of him, then you'll have peace. When you connect with the Lord, when you cry out to God, say, Lord, I want to know you in the power of your resurrection. When you get that same spirit that Paul had, you'll have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Enabled men like Paul to go through beatings, scourgings, shipwrecks, abandonment, rejection, dissolution, hunger, conflict. Go through all those things. When the ship was sinking, they turned to Paul and said, you know why they turned to Paul? Because they saw the kingdom in him. They saw peace around the fear. I was on that ship down in Mexico, remember? 1990, what year was that? 94, 93. And we were out in the off the coast of Cancun. It was a catamaran, and Sue and I and David was there. And Eric was there. I think Donna was back in the hotel room. She was smart. They said that we want to take you on this cruise in this catamaran out to the Isle of Women. Of course, my soulish man rose up and said, "Oh boy, the Isle of Women!" You know, I'm thinking it's going to like a bikini clad island. You know, but you know, I'm sorry to repent. I repent for those thoughts, but that was my thoughts. And so that was a long time ago. That was before righteousness started. No, I'm just kidding you a little bit. But the Isle of Women, let's all go out to the Isle of Women. We'll get out there, and Eric, it wasn't quite what we thought, was it? No. And so we get back on the catamaran to come back to Cancun, and didn't realize that there was a tropical squall coming through. They failed to tell us this for some reason. And just about halfway on this, 10-mile journey between Cancun and the Isle of Women, the squall hit so hard that the wind, you ever been in a deal where the rain comes sideways? That's how hard it was. And the place, everybody on the boat, except Sue and I and Eric and David, and I don't thank you guys, they were drinking. Pretty much everybody was drinking. Some of them had drinking to the excess. And I knew all these people because we were on this trip as part of the company. And it looks bad. It's starting to look bad. The catamaran in front of us, the mast broke off. So the crew, we found out, we all scrambled to get life jackets and found out there was only enough life jackets for the crew. And so looks like we're about to perish. I mean, really, sincerely, it looks like we're about to perish. And I'm standing there with Sue. We're holding on for dear life. And this one lady who had had a few too many tequilas and salt or whatever hollers out, "Don't be afraid. Bill Hart is on board. negative Bill Hart's on board, we're not going to sink. So the first thing I thought about was Jonah. After all, I'd had these visions about the Isle of Women, you know. So, the thing I'm telling you, something in her recognized there was a kingdom in me. Amen. There was peace. Maybe I didn't have as much as I needed to have, but there was a lot more peace on me than was on them. Except some of them were so drunk they had some peace, but it wasn't from the Spirit. Oh, we're about to drown, huh? Okay. So let it be. Yeah. But the peace of God. How many want that to rule in your life? How many want to be out in the world and the world's just going crazy? Oh, my God. Have you heard about what's happening? Huh? Peace of God. They'll see in you there's a victory that passeth all understanding. There's a Christ in you that's greater than the things of this world. Well, that's why I don't get upset over the moanings and the groanings of this world. The political things we've gone through, who cares? We've got the kingdom. I mean, I care, but I'm not going to be disturbed by any of it. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No, don't be disturbed. The peace of God passeth all understanding. Finally, let's go on. The final one. Joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I would define it an inner attitude that originates from the place of dwelling. An inner attitude that originates from a place of dwelling. A perception that activates our outward display. See, when there's an inward joy, it activates an outward display of emotion. It brings a state and an appearance of happiness. It brings a source of delight. Wow. Isn't it wonderful when the joy of the Lord manifests through us, his people? And we get so delightful and so happy, we get ecstatic. I was that way last Sunday. I came in here and I was so ecstatic. I was so free. It was just joy all over me. I was like a walking, bleeding, oozing joy. How many want to be a walking, bleeding, oozing joy? Say, I want to become an oozy joy person. Wow. The joy of the Lord, we know, is our strength. Jesus said, let my joy remain in you, that your joy may be full. Be altogether joyful. He said, let the joy that I've given you, let no one take it from you. Slap you on the cheek. Joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. One thing about Jesus, even all through all his trial, he never lost his inwardmost joy. Sure, he cried, travailed, lamented, but inside there was a joy unspeakable and full of glory that cannot be robbed from you. Even in your darkest moment, when you're going through the greatest trials because of something that's happened to you or to your friend or your family or to your nation or a situation, remember there's a joy that's in you that cannot be taken from you in your spirit. That's the joy of the Lord. Amen. It's one of them deals where you're crying crocodile tears, maybe over some situation, but there's this inward pressing of joy in you. Crying and laughing at the same time. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials. For God is working a peaceable fruit of righteousness in you. He's proving something in your life that's greater than what man can give you. Whom having not seen, you love, though now you do see him. 1 Peter 1:8. Yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. So what's the kingdom? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Stand up with me this morning, if you would. The Lord is good. Yes, it's all good. I hope you're watching, Sue. I'm preaching myself out of a hole. No, I'm just kidding. We bless Sue in the name of the Lord. Amen. We lift our hands together to you, Lord, this morning. We connect with you, the living God, the true God, the holy God. We ask you to come. Come, Lord Jesus. Touch each one of our hearts. Let your spirit be birthed within us with such newness and freshness and awareness that it transforms our mind, our soul, our emotions. Let your kingdom be birthed within us, Lord, today. In Jesus' name.